You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Big faith. What an amazing subject. What an amazing title. Big faith. Are you ready for it? What I want to do is set a foundation for this incredible subject that we're going to come through. And I tell you now, you won't be changed in 8 weeks' time. You're going to be changed after today. And it's going to build on. It's going to build on after what happens today. Those online, we want to give you a special welcome too, that you will be blessed. You'll be impacted by the message from today onwards. So buckle up. Enjoy the ride. It'll be challenging, encouraging, thought-provoking, but exciting. Because you're going to grow. You're going to go to a new level. And I want to demystify this thing called faith. To see that it's attainable to all of us. It's not way out there. It's here. It's inside of us. I want to demystify it so that you can see that I can walk in this level of faith in my marriage, in my finance, in my health, in my relationship, in guidance, in wisdom, in knowing how to do things properly, in making right decisions. You know, in Hebrews 11, it's called the Hall of Faith. And you will be hearing characters, men and women, in this chapter that's going to absolutely blow you away. You're going to hear about these men and women that God used, simple, ordinary people like you and I, just ordinary people that God took a hold of and changed them into extraordinary. Earth's nobodies became heaven's somebodies. They overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice. They obtained promises. They shut the mouths of lions. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Ordinary men and women. And so in these coming weeks, you and I are going to learn how God took a hold of these men, ordinary young men and women, and changed them. How they began to move in faith. How they were able to overcome obstacles. And that's what God wants for us, to be able to overcome the obstacles that we often face in life. They turn their weakness into strength. How did you do it? Gideon, how did you do it? You're going to learn. They obtain promises. They shut the mouths of lions. I wouldn't try it in the natural, but you can do it in the spiritual. You can shut the mouths of the lions, the enemy wants to keep roaring in your ear. And you have the power and the anointing and the faith to shut the mouth of lions. Some fail the first time. They were given a second chance. What does that tell us? God's the God of the second chance. I am so grateful that God is the God of second chance. I wouldn't be here if he wasn't. And in Hebrews 12:1, it says, these people were called the cloud of witnesses. They are looking over the balcony of heaven. They're seeing you today. These same men that we're going to be reading about and learning about. Some of them were even sitting in the seats of this church. They're looking over the balcony and say, listen, keep at it. Don't give up. You're nearly there. The promises are yours. They are yes and amen. Yes, you might have blown it. But Peter looks down and he said, listen, I blew it and I'm here. You might have doubted things and you're still living in doubt. Thomas says to you, hey, listen, talk about doubters, I was the biggest one. But I'm telling you now, after this encounter in the subject of faith, you will never doubt again. And the Bible speaks about how we walk in faith, live in faith, pray in faith, resist the devil by faith, overcome the world by faith, stand in faith, continue in faith, be strong in faith, abound in faith, be grounded in faith. Why? Because faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible. Impossible to please God. For he that cometh God must believe that he is who he said he was, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith pleases God. If faith is so important to my spiritual life and development and growth, what is it? Hebrews 11:1 tells us. Now faith, not tomorrow's faith, now faith, present faith, not yesterday's faith, now faith is the substance. Let me go through it. Is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. I'm not apologizing for getting excited about this. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. See, when we purchased this property, we were given a title deed, which is a legal document. That's what faith is like. A legal document of proof of ownership of God's promises to you and me. It's like paying the mortgage on your house. It's a commitment until you finally receive the title deed of ownership. Faith can be like that. It's a commitment of speaking the word until it becomes a reality. You know, I've shared this testimony, and because it's my testimony, I'll share it again. I used to smoke. Any smokers here? No, don't put your hand up. I believed that God can set me free, just like that. I didn't have problems with God setting me free, but if I was to ask now, I had a problem. Now faith. And I'll share the testimony of it in a moment. But just to whet your appetite. Now faith. In Hebrews 11 verse 1, from another translation, the TLB translation, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us. It's waiting for you, church. Even though you cannot see it up ahead. Wow. You can say amen if you like. It's waiting for you up ahead. Faith is trust. Trusting in God, trusting in His promise, trusting in His word. It's believing who He says He is. Where does this faith come from? Well, let's see what the Bible says. In Ephesians 2:8, Paul says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. What is the gift of God? Faith. Faith is the gift. He's given you faith. The faith is the gift. It's a gift given to you. And this verse that says that faith is the gift of God. You realize, church, that even accepting Jesus into your heart, you couldn't have done it. You could not do it on your own. You needed the faith of God to do it. You couldn't say, Jesus, come into my heart. It wouldn't have happened unless faith was given to you to receive. Isn't that amazing? You had to have God faith to receive Jesus Christ, to believe that he died for you on the cross. You had to have faith of God, faith in God, and the faith of God to do that. And he had imparted that into you for you to say, Jesus, come into my heart, cleanse me of all my sins. And if you've never done it before, then his faith is here right now, after the ministry of the word, and we'll give you an opportunity where you can open your heart and let his faith come into you for you to receive Jesus Christ. It's a gift. It's a gift given to us. We all have human faith, but there is a supernatural faith of God that only comes to those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Human faith can believe what it sees, hears, smells, feels, tastes. It's connected to our five senses, our human faith. It is limited to the five senses. You know, using human faith, you can sit on a chair. Yeah. You don't even think about it. You just sit on a chair. And you know it'll hold you up. You can get on a plane. You may even don't even know the name of the plane. Don't know what class it is. You haven't even met the captain. You don't know who the captain is. But you get on the plane. And you trust that everything will be okay, and so you get on that plane, and he takes you to that destiny. That takes human faith, and God gives us human faith. But what if I asked you to sit in a chair that you couldn't see? What if I asked you to sit in a chair and you saw a leg was missing on that chair? What would your human faith react to then? What does I say to you? Listen, I bought you a ticket to get in this plane. You found the plane had it in one engine. And the tires were flat. What would your human faith, how would your human faith react? Your senses would say, no. And when it comes to God, we have to believe things we cannot see. We have to believe. And you will be finding out how these ordinary men and women believe things they couldn't see. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen God. You haven't seen the devil. You haven't seen heaven or hell. You haven't seen your sins forgiven. However, you have to believe in all these things to be born again. When you say, Jesus, cleanse me of all my sin, you don't see all this muck, but you believe it. That's what made you a Christian. You believed it. How can you believe in things you can't see? The answer is that you can't believe in invisible things with human faith. Human faith only believes in the tangible. But for things that cannot be seen, you need God's supernatural faith. In Romans 12, verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure, a determined amount of faith. Now, you're the only people that I've confessed this to in my entire life. But when I bake my favorite sponge cake, I measure out the exact ingredients for that cake to be a perfect sponge cake. I mix the ingredients together, I put it in the oven, and I watch with excitement and expectancy. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you the exact measure because it's a family secret. When we become a Christian, God has given us a measure of faith to live our lives with success, not with failure. He's given us, you say, well, I don't think I have faith. Don't ever say that. God's given you faith. It may be the size of a mustard seed, but it's enough for you to live your Christian life, to bring glory to Him, to see you come through any obstacles, problems, trials, whatever may come your way. He has given you the exact amount of faith to face any trials, tribulations, difficulties, hardships that may come your way. Have you ever noticed with some people that you look at them and you think, well, gee, they've got really strong faith. You know, their faith seems stronger than mine. You know, why is that? Well, faith is like a muscle. We're all born with a measure of muscle in our body. And some people develop their muscle better than others. They go to gym. They do exercises. Bodybuilders, for example, exercise their muscles very regularly to make them stronger and bigger. You know, I've got a young grandson. Sometimes he comes to our house and then he takes off his T-shirt. He said, look, Papa. And I said, what? What do you want me to look at? He said, look. And he said, have a look at the six-pack in my body. I thought, you know, and then what happens? He gets on the ground and starts doing push-ups. You know? And I said, keep your back straight when you do it. You wait to see him in another 5 years' time. And this is what you're going to learn by this big faith series. This is what you're going to learn. That every character that is spoken about, will bring some aspect of the faith walk that God is inviting us to walk in. Develop our faith walk. When you confess God's word and expect good things to happen to you, you are using your faith. Praise God, your measure of faith grows as you feed on it. As you feed it and use it. Each time you hear or read God's word, you're feeding yourself with this faith. The more you use it, the more faith will grow in your life. You know, I've had people say to me, look, I pray for the sick and nothing happens. Well, how many did you pray for? Well, I prayed for 5 or 6. I said, start praying for 100, 200. The more you pray, the more your faith arises. When I started praying for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praise God, I'd say most of them came through initially, but now my faith is very high in that area. And I'm developing my faith walk for healing and for other things that God is wanting to do in my life and in your life as well. But you've got to exercise it. Speak it and exercise it. And this is what we're going to learn. It's one more thing about faith. The Bible says faith is also built up and strengthened by praying in the Holy Ghost. You realize that when you speak in tongues, you're actually building up your faith. In Jude 20, it says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you're praying in tongues, your faith is being built up. When you have a word for someone or you want to pray for the sick, as you're speaking in tongues, you're building your faith up, ready to lay hands on the sick in faith and to see them recover. So who is this faith for? Every born-again believer who has put their faith and trust in God, and that means you. You're part of it. Faith will prepare us for the journey instead of fear. God doesn't want us to deal with fear. He doesn't want us to be controlled by fear. He wants us to be controlled by, what is the opposite of faith? Fear. And faith is fixing our attention on what you cannot see. And as Christians, we are now a people of faith, which means God wants us to move in faith and not unbelief. And God is saying, from this moment on, I'm going to cause you to walk in faith like you've never done before. And the succeeding Sundays, as we hear messages on the characters of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find out some of the keys in their lives that helped them to develop their faith walk. Our day-to-day lives are to consist of a walk in faith. In order to grow from faith to faith, we must exercise regularly, on a regular basis. Every day we face problems and challenges that give us opportunities to exercise our faith. What kind of a faith picture do you have for your life, your family, your finances, your marriage, your children, your business? Do you know it's God's will for you to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers? Don't settle for second best. God wants you through faith to come into the fullness what He has purposed and planned for your life and my life. Faith is being convinced that God will take charge of the situation. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking away, have a look at it, looking away from all that will distract, to Jesus, who is the lead and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bring it to maturity and perfection. Looking away, looking unto, looking away, what is distracting you? Looking away, looking unto, looking away. What is distracting you? What is it that is in your life that's distracting you? Is it busyness? I'm so busy. Is that distracting you? Is there issues that is taking your attention off the author and the finisher of your faith? It says here, looking away. It's an act of the will. It's a decision I have to make. Looking away from those things that distract me and looking unto the author and the perfecter of my faith. Praise God. Praise God. Look away. Look unto. You say, well, how does faith differ from the gift of faith? You know, the Bible talks about the gift of faith. What's the difference? Well, every Christian has faith, but not every Christian operates in the gift of faith. Many Christians grow in faith consistently, but no Christian has the gift of faith continually. Every Christian shows faith in their lives. Some have weak faith. Some have strong faith. Some have great faith. There's also the faith as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. That's to develop your character. Faith to develop your character. The faith that we have for daily living is different for the gift of faith. From the gift of faith is given by the Holy Spirit as He wills. The gift of faith is part of the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the 9 spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit as He wills. Now that can happen to any of us. Suddenly. You know, when we look at examples of the gift of faith, Jesus told His disciples to get in the boat, and He got in the boat also. And the Bible says, you'll find this in Mark 4. And Jesus saw a pillar. He went in the bow of the boat and saw a pillar and went to sleep. Just slept. And the storm arose. And the disciples got so afraid. You know, they probably were saying to each other, will someone wake Him up? Doesn't He care that we're perishing? So someone is brave enough and they came, Jesus, Master, don't you care that we perish, that we're perishing? The Bible says, He spoke to the storm, peace, be still. Whew. I believe it was suddenly. Then He turns to the disciples and He says to them, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Faith was in the boat. Faith was there with them in the boat. All they had to do is turn away and look unto. All they had to do was, we're okay. Because the Creator of the winds and waves, the Creator of the heavens and earth is with us. I don't care what the devil throws against us. I don't care how strong this storm is. He's in the boat. The Creator is in the boat. Look away. Look unto. Peter and John went to the gate beautiful. They saw this crippled man. They'd probably seen him before. He's begging alms. They said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. See, when you say in the name of, to a Hebrew mind, it means to be in the life of and living it. There's faith. In the life of and living it. And Peter grabbed him by the hand, right hand, pulled him up. Instantly. He was made whole. Probably only once I saw an instant healing. And it surprised me. And I even thought, did I see it or didn't I see it? This guy with a blind eye, this is in the Philippines. Blind eye, just white. We prayed for him. Dave Bredick and myself prayed for him. And we could see the white receding and his brown pupil, same as the left eye, started to appear instantly. And I think, nah. You know, you think, what? In Acts 16, the story of Paul going down to the riverside to a prayer meeting and this young girl. So these men are the men of the Most High God. They'll show you the way of salvation. They'll tell you how to get saved. But she was possessed. She was demon-possessed. She had a python spirit living inside of her. The Bible says Paul got so agitated, he commanded that spirit. That's the gift of faith. When it's to do with deliverance, it's the gift of faith. I don't know how many times I shouted and yelled and stomped and ran around the room and cried out and hallelujah, pray, get out. Nothing happened. The gift of, but when the gift of faith operates in the name of Jesus, you don't even have to shout. There's authority in his name, not in your voice, in his name. Then, you know, we have incredible men and women today. Reinhard Bonnke, what an amazing man. 1.2 million people saved in one day. Miracles. People getting out of their wheelchairs. Powerful, powerful experiences. Catherine Kuhlman. You will hear words like this. Trent. Fiona. Margaret. Lennis. Each one of us dare to believe all things are possible. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The New Living Translation, what you say flows from what's in your heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. In other words, let your heart become abundant with God's word, with God's promises. Fill your heart with the promises of God, that what comes out of the mouth, it's what's been deposited in the heart. Be abundant. Out of the abundance of the heart. That's speaking about your spirit. Let me finish with this illustration. This is taken from Mark 11, verse 12 to 14, and then verse 20 to 24. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed the fig tree in the full of leaves a little way off, so he went over to see if it had any figs. But there was only leaves because it was too early in the season for figs. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one eat of your fruit again. And the disciples heard it, heard him say it. That evening, Jesus and his disciples left the city. The next morning, 24 hours after, the next day, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed and withered from the roots up. When you speak, it starts with the unseen. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, maybe you'll be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe. It will happen, and have no doubts in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. If you believe that you receive it, it will be yours. Have faith in God. In the Greek language, it means have the God kind of faith. That's what it means. Have the God kind of faith. Don't use your human faith. Have the God kind of faith. Jesus uses this fig tree as an illustration of exercising the God kind of faith. And there were two things to notice about the God kind of faith. Number one, we need to believe with our heart. And number two, we need to believe with our words, the things we say. It isn't enough just to believe in your heart. You must believe the words you speak. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, but since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Believing in your heart and saying with your mouth is the key to faith. And this is referred to as the law of faith. The principle of the God kind of faith is believing with the heart and speaking it with my mouth. And this is the God kind of faith that spoke the world into existence. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. How did he do it? God believed that what he said will come to pass. He spoke the word, and there the earth was formed. That is the God kind of faith. He believed what he said would come to pass, and it did. You know, I love this story in Genesis 1. The Holy Spirit was hovering, just brooding, just waiting, waiting, breathing, just waiting. What was he waiting for? The word. The Holy Spirit said to me when I looked at this verse again, he said, that's what I'm doing over your life right now. Over your life. I'm breathing, I'm brooding, I'm hovering over you, waiting, waiting, waiting. Oh, I've tried this before and nothing happened. You might move. Oh, I've had this problem for a long time. I might as well accept the fact that I've got a flaw. So he holds back. He's waiting for you to speak his word. Once you speak his word, then he activates the word. In Romans 4:17, God called those things which do not exist as though they did. And over this coming week's church, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit prepare your heart, to fill your heart with words that line up with the God kind of faith. We can make our words breathe the very atmosphere of heaven. You know, two things I'll finish up with. Reinhard Bonnke said this that absolutely blew me away. He said, when I first went to Africa, he said, I was unsure. I didn't quite know what was going to happen. Felt the great expectancy on my life and so on. So I went there, into the unknown. And God spoke to me. And this is what he said. Reinhard, my words in your mouth is just as great as my words in my mouth. Let me say that again. My words in your mouth is just as great as my words in my mouth. Fact. Truth. Fact. Truth. Fact is, I've got a heart murmur. The truth is that by his stripes I'm healed. The fact is, you may have depression. The truth is that his peace has garrisoned your mind. The fact is, I struggle in areas of my thought life. Truth is that he purifies my mind. Fact is, I have problems in my marriage. The truth is, love conquers all. Fact, truth. What's your focus on? What are you focusing on? Are we focusing on fact or are we focusing on truth? I wish you didn't ask. What are you focusing on? Fact. You don't deny the fact. We're not denying the fact. We're not saying it's not there when it's already there. But the truth says, by his stripes, you were healed. I felt the Holy Spirit during the time of worship to pray for those that are sick in body. We know what the facts are. You know what the facts are in your body. But we're going to declare the truth. He said, well, I've done it before. Let's do it again. Faith cometh by hearing, by hearing, by hearing, by hearing, by hearing. Constantly. And it's not just hearing, but you speaking it out. Let yourself hear the words of God spoken out of your own mouth. If you're sick in body, I want you to stand right now. I'm going to sing. We know what the facts say. We know what the truth says. The fact says that this is an issue. The truth says that by His stripes I'm healed. Now we're going to focus not on the fact. We're not ignoring the fact. We're not dismissing. We're simply focusing on what the Word of God says, the truth. This is faith. This is faith in action now. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every person here have got facts in their lives. There's things in their lives, Father God, that they've been crying out for, they've been believing for. But Father God, sometimes we can focus more on the facts than on the truth. And this morning, in Jesus' name, we're going to focus now on your truth. Your truth says that by your stripes, we were healed. And Father, we declare your healing power to flow right now through their bodies. Father, we declare the healing touch of Jesus. Lord God, like the woman that touched the hem of his garment, faith. She said, if only I touched. And when she touched the hem, she was healed of her affliction, of her plague. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare, Father God, in your house, in this house, Lord God, healings, miracles, signs and wonders to take place. That we will go from this place with our head held high, go from this place knowing faith has been born and birthed in my heart afresh in Jesus' name, to believe the impossible, to believe, Father God, even though I cannot see it, feel it, taste it, touch it. But God, I believe your word. I am focused now on your word. I declare your word over my life. I declare your word over that organ in my body. I declare, Father God, your word in Jesus' name, that by faith, Father God, I receive my healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give glory to God.
You know, for each and every one of us, just as He traded death for eternal life, we get to trade death for eternal life. And how do we do that? We access it by faith. If you're in this place today, you don't know Jesus. There's one very simple thing that you need to do. You need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He died on the cross and was rose again on the third day. It's as simple as that. If you need to do that, we're going to pray a prayer together as a church. We're going to pray it with you. Just pray that prayer with faith. Maybe you've got that much faith to start with. It's enough. It's enough to enter into a relationship with God. Why don't we close our eyes? Pray this prayer after me. God, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross, to be buried, and rise again for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess that I believe with my mouth